I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Dan Bailey. He's with Youth Shelters and Family Services. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. Youth Shelters is a wonderful organization that's been serving a lot of people for quite a long time, unfortunately, because what it means is that we continue to have homeless youth in Santa Fe, in New Mexico, really all over the country. The problem seems to be getting worse rather than better?
It actually is, which might be a surprise given the improving economy. But we are actually serving more numbers of youth in need and their family members than last year. So we served more than 1,100 for our fiscal year that just closed. And those are 1,100 individuals. So homeless, runaway, and in-crisis youth and family members. The increase in numbers really mirrors what is trending across the country in that there are more homeless youth today than last year.
I think it's a really important thing to talk about because when people talk about economic indicators and improvement in the economy of the United States as a whole, not everybody is sharing in that improvement. And a lot of people not only aren't getting it, but it actually, the problem is getting worse on the bottom, even as people in the upper sectors are prospering.
That is absolutely true. While we are seeing some increase in job opportunities for the youth we serve, the reality is that improving economic conditions largely are not going to reach this population. Many of the youth we serve have never had a job. They do not have workplace skills, and they are often academically deficient. So some of the things that we do to help them achieve lifetime independence include workforce skills development, on-site internships, help them develop a resume, get jobs, be successful in the workplace, and increase their academic proficiency through tutoring. We have a GED program, and so we're really helping them achieve success not only today, but for the rest of their lives.
I'm noticing in the materials that you put out for the public, you're talking about youth ages 10 through 17. Now, I can see a 17-year-old making a resume, but a 10-year-old, a homeless 10-year-old, that's a kid with serious problems who needs probably parents more than anything else. And if the kid doesn't have functional parents, they need some other kind of safety.
Right, absolutely. So you're correct in that we do serve 10 to 17-year-olds at our youth emergency shelter. It's one of our five programs, and overall, agency-wide, we serve youth beginning at the age of 10 up to the age of 24, and that depends on which of our five programs a youth is a part of, and they may be a part of multiple programs. So we really try to meet youth where they are in their lives, tailor our services accordingly so that they can be successful. And while job skills may not be something on the immediate horizon for someone as young as 10, certainly we can help them in other areas that can provide some transferable skills at a later time, such as taking responsibility for doing homework.
For example, yes.
Absolutely. Doing chores, learning how to do certain tasks, self-care, doing laundry, functioning as part of a group. All of our meals at the shelter are communal meals. The kids help prepare them. So these are good things for kids to know at that age. And certainly they can parlay those skills into greater successes later on in life.
I would think that kids, whatever however old they are, young people who are going through the kind of problems that they have, one of the things that they really need is routine. And when you talk about preparing meals, like setting a table the same way every day, there's something really important about that.
You are absolutely right. And one thing that I have seen around mealtime with kids in several of our programs is that there can be a certain amount of excitement about that shared experience with peers, with staff, with adults who they trust, and that structure, like you're saying, knowing that they're going to have healthy, nutritious food and have a part in creating that, not only for themselves, but for others around them, I think can be a really powerful experience, especially for many of our kids who have never had that kind of structure, never had shared mealtime, never had many of the healthy and nutritious foods that we serve them, and they learn how to cook. So it really is important. It's a home-like environment, and we do our very best to create that. And for many of the kids we have, they've not been in an environment even approaching something like that. So it can be new to them.
What are some of the kinds of environments that they come from?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Every youth, of course, has their own unique story, but there are definitely commonalities. There is almost always severe family disruption, substance abuse in the home, physical, emotional abuse. There can be sexual abuse, unfortunately. Family crisis, maybe fell on hard times economically, home was foreclosed upon. The older kids may have been sent out, and the parents may have taken the younger ones. So every story is really unfortunate, and we see a lot of kids who have suffered tremendously in their lives, and all of them have experienced trauma. So one of the things that we do is all of our programs are underpinned by professional counseling, and we help them work through that trauma through evidence-based professional practices and have a great amount of success. But in terms of individual stories, you know, some of the kids come to us, they are in state custody. Sometimes parents, unfortunately, don't want their kids. Sometimes parents really do want their kids, but they don't have the skills to take care of them because of issues in their lives, such as drug use. So those are some of the things that we see pretty routinely among the population we serve.
So you're not only feeding and clothing and helping kids in a lot of different ways, but actually providing trauma counseling. And that's not necessarily a short-term process.
That's right.
Because, I mean, trauma counseling on some level requires safety and stability as a kind of foundation.
Absolutely. And so any youth who begins to receive services with us, we find that, and we make sure that, they're safety and stability is increased immediately. So our shelter, for example, is a very safe and stable environment. A lot of kids are fleeing abuse at home or bullying or other really difficult circumstances. So if a kid has run away, for example, typically, they're not just running away, they're escaping from something terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So our transitional living program, youth can live there for up to 18 months, ages 17 to 24, while they're in school or working, so that they can really be immersed in a community, peers and trusted adults, our staff members, and gain the skills that they need to really launch into the world and become independent for a lifetime. So that is a very safe setting for our youth where there is a lot of structure. You know, everyone makes mistakes in life, and and that is an environment where they can try new things, and nobody can get it right 100% of the time, but that's a safe environment where they can make mistakes, and that might mean that a youth has a hard time prioritizing, and they may have difficulty balancing school and work and all of the programmatic things that they have to do there in terms of developing greater life skills and so on. And so if they are discouraged by that, you know, our staff are there, their peers are there to help them with the structure, to help them prioritize, just as an example, and to really succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you come from, say, an abusive household, chances are sooner or later you're going to act out on other people once you're in a safe place, and you really need trained professionals as well as loving, empathetic people around you.
Right. And trauma presents in sometimes unexpected ways. And so, you know, a kid may not know how to control their anger, for example. And so we want to help them manage that so it doesn't stand in the way of them really making it in this life.
When you think about it, adults have, I mean, healthy, middle-class, well-raised, untraumatized adults have trouble handling their anger.
Right.
It's universal, and you can only imagine how much harder it is for them.
Definitely. And they may not have ever seen anyone around them as a positive role model who has been able to successfully manage anger, frustrations, the little things that pop up every day, maybe being overwhelmed and overscheduled. And so positive role modeling is really important to us. And so we have staff members and others around them where they can see what may be something very healthy and positive for the first time in their lives in terms of managing everyday stressors.
Do you find that the kids who have been around for a while can serve kind of as mentors or role models themselves for some of the newer kids?
Definitely. In fact, at our transitional living program, we have a peer modeling program. And so when a youth arrives there and they have to go through an application process, they have to really be ready to go to the next step in life and want this for themselves. You know, that's a huge decision for them to make. And so it's a pretty intensive program. And I would imagine, you know, as anyone might wonder, what is that going to be like? Wow, this is going to be so different. And so we do have a peer modeling and peer education program where a youth who arrives there is sort of taken under the wing of a youth who has been there longer and has been very successful. And so it's a lot about self-determination, becoming, you know, the best person that you can be. And we also have a resident of the month. We have residents who present on certain life skills topics, you know, for example, might be cleaning your room or, you know, managing this or that in life. It's a really great program with tremendous outcomes.
How do you measure the outcomes? How do you keep in touch with kids who were in the program last year, 5 years ago, or more?
We do measure outcomes in a very deliberate manner, according to internally developed as well as federal government developed logic models. And so we measure things like after a kid leaves our program, where do they go? I mean, do they go to a safe and stable environment? Have they acquired the skills that they need, such as education? Have they increased a grade level, for example, in math? Have they met some of their self-determined goals? Like, I really want to make healthier choices. I mean,
so they self-determine their own goals. It's not like the youth shelter says, okay, if you want to be here, you got to achieve these and those milestones.
That is right.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does.
What if the kid says, I just want to survive, that's all I can do right now?
That can be understandable. And sometimes kids just need a safe place to be for a short period of time. And then they really have to start developing a plan to move forward. So, you know, we're here to wrap them in services and support, but they have to want that for sure.
Tell us also, we're talking to Dan Bailey of Youth Shelters and Family Services. There's another program, which is the Street Outreach Program.
That is right. And that came to mind immediately when you said, you know, what if a kid says, I just need a safe place to be for a little while? Well, our Street Outreach Program, we serve youth who are living on the streets. They are marginally housed, meaning that they are in great danger of losing their housing immediately. They might be couch surfing, staying with a friend for a night or two or a week or two here and there. No permanent address. They could be camping in the mountains or living in a car. And so sometimes, you know, everyone needs a safe place to go. And so in addition to our outreach on the streets, where we give out essential items such as food and water and clothing at designated places and times 7 days a week, we also have a drop-in center. And so that is open 6 days a week, and kids can go there, take a shower, receive services, do laundry, keep in touch with family or friends through Facebook, other social media, receive mail there. So it is truly that, a great place to just go and be for a little while. But that said, they also have to, you know, start receiving our services. And so that can be an entry point, but they have to want to make progress on self-identified goals. They have to want to, you know, really create a plan for a future that hopefully will be rewarding and fulfilling with the help of our staff.
You are devoted to keeping all of this going and raising the money and doing administrative stuff. Are you also getting to know the kids at all?
Occasionally, and sometimes it may simply be that there is a familiar face. And so just having a consistent presence in the life of a youth can be meaningful for me and for them. I don't have a whole lot of direct contact, but sometimes just seeing a kid advance with their goals, advance and grow in life and get to a place where they are more and more ready to make it on their own or return to family if appropriate. There are youth who I have known by name, and that's been really great. And so I can get to know them a little bit, and that's nice. We do have counseling and some program services in the building where I'm located. So there is that connection, and it's meaningful.
When you look at the roots of the problem, I mean, you guys are really helping with the symptoms, but what do you think are the roots of the problem that we have so many homeless young people in Santa Fe, in New Mexico, in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Certainly family disruption, you know, family instability. I mean, my own guess is that some of it stems from poverty, that there are a lot of people in our community who, as said earlier, simply are not making it, and that puts a lot of stressors on families. Substance abuse, certainly, domestic violence. Just my opinion, I think a lot of it really can be traced to lack of opportunities. And so that's what we do our very best to do, is give these youth opportunities. And often it's far more than they ever thought they would have for themselves.
You are having an event coming up called Boots, Bolos, and Boogie, which is a dinner and it's a concert to benefit Youth Shelters and Family Services. And it's Thursday, the 27th of August at the El Dorado Hotel. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. This is our signature annual fundraiser. This is our fourth year doing Boots, Bellows, and Boogie. And it is a really great evening. A lot of fun. This year, we're going to have Tommy Rowe and his band for live entertainment. The event starts at 5:30, as you said, on the 27th. There is a silent auction, a live auction. We're going to have a youth who we served a few years ago as our keynote speaker. It is going to be a tremendously moving speech about how youth shelters and family services helped her and where she is today in her life. So it's an exciting, fast-moving evening, and we're expecting about 300 people.
Are tickets still available?
They are available, and more information can be found on our website, www.youthshelters.org. And the event also includes a wonderful chef-prepared dinner with a choice of entrees. Really fantastic.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, Dan Bailey of Youth Shelters and Family Services. Once again, youthshelters.org. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.